gather here this day on the Lord's Day, a day we celebrate our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. When we say as a congregation, Jesus Christ is risen, you respond, He is risen indeed. This morning, Jesus Christ is risen.
Jesus is risen indeed.
Let's worship.
Of our Lord. Let's stand today and worship, and let's sing, Christ the Lord is risen today.
Thank you.
Easter Sunday morning worship this day. We have already had two wonderful worship services. All began at 7 a.m. this morning with our community sunrise service, then at our 9:30 outside worship service, and we're glad that you decided to join us in person today. And for those that are watching us via Facebook Live this morning, happy Easter to you. And I pray that the Lord will bless you this day, because this is a day of celebration. It is a day of excitement. It is the holiest day of all Christian holy days, because we celebrate the risen Lord and how He changed our life. How He changed our life, not just today, but for every other day, for 364 other days. That's what the celebration is about. Thank you for joining us for worship. We look forward to the opportunity of singing and celebrating today, reading scripture, praying, and listening to God's word this morning. If you have your bulletins with you, for those in place, I encourage you to sing along with us, to worship with us. For those that are at home, go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org and go ahead and pull that service up and sing along as you're at home with your family and friends today. I will remind you that as we have begun our dual worship service today for the first Sunday in April, we will continue to have our 9:30 worship service outside during the month of April, assuming weather permitting, and then we'll have our 11 o'clock worship service inside as well as we social distance as best we can. We also want to thank you for those that have been joining me in Bible study on Wednesday nights in our Lenten Bible study, The Walk. I hope you have really enjoyed this time of study, and while the season of Lent has finally come to an end as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, we still got a couple weeks left in our study. So join with me on Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. on Facebook Live. If you haven't before and you want to join me this week, please go ahead and do so. I encourage you to go back and look at some of our previous sessions we've done on Facebook. Those can be found on our Facebook page. Also, the study guides can be found on our website as well. Also, we want to remind you, I want to thank you, first, we thank you for all the wonderful blankets that have come in during the month of March. If you, for those that were able to enter our sanctuary this morning, you saw all the blankets piled at the door downstairs. There's got to be between 30 and 50 blankets that we will be distributing across Alamance County this in the coming weeks to the nursing homes and to the hospice home for individuals who just needs a little touch of love. Thank you for your generosity this past month. And then as we move forward into April, we will be collecting food, canned food items for Allied Churches. Allied Churches does a wonderful ministry in our county, and we try to support them in many ways throughout the year. But this month, we're collecting canned food items. If you look in your bulletin, there's a list of items that will be printed there, the things that they're looking for. Also, you can go on our newsletter and pull that list up that way. But over the next month, find some time when you're at the grocery store to pick up a couple extra items and bring them by the church during the week, or you can bring them on Sunday morning when you come and worship with us, and we will put them all together. Last but not least, I want to thank the crew that came and was able to help put pine needles out this week to beautify our grounds in preparation and anticipation of this Sunday, of Easter Sunday. A lot of hard work has gone in it. A lot of people have done a lot of work along the grounds in the last couple weeks, and I want to say thank you for all your hard work on that. I also will give you an update. We are close. We are very close to our raised goal for the parking lot. We are if you look at the numbers in the bulletin, check those out, but we're almost there to our goal. And I will let you know, the contract has been signed. We will be paving the lot, hopefully in the next couple weeks is what I'm praying. Amen, Jerry? Amen to that. So we look forward to that wonderful time of beautifying our property once again. And thank you again for your generosity. So many other ways to celebrate this day. We celebrate the risen Lord this day. So let's stand and sing together this morning.
Our next hymn this morning is Low in the Grave He Rose.
From the grave He rose.
So every time I say Christ the Lord is risen, you're called to repeat, He is risen indeed. And we did it about 5 or 6 times this morning, and they got about the last 2. So I'm challenging my inside worship people and those that are watching on Facebook Live this morning. So every time I say Christ the Lord is risen, you respond, Christ the Lord is risen. All right, now we're already ahead of the game tonight, this morning. All right, let's, as we go to our scripture passage this morning, our opening scripture, this comes from Psalm 118. I'll be reading verses 1 and 2 and verses 14 through 24 today. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, His love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but He has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answer me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders have rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us sing with rejoicing. Let us praise God with rejoicing, because the gates of righteousness were opened this day because of the empty tomb. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Christ is risen. We repeat our Easter shouts of surprise and joy again and again. For news of your victory over powers of death and evil is news so startling, so amazing, so different from the news that bombards us day by day. Beyond our comprehension, Father, you startle us again and again with resurrection life. That life brings us grace and hope and joy. You and your risen power are shaping us all of our days. And so we praise you this Resurrection Sunday morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen.
joy burn bright in our hearts and our minds the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, who overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. We bring our offerings to you today, and we ask that you bless the gift, the giver, and the receiver to further your kingdom. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
Amen. Thank you, Brian. Thank you to all our musicians this morning, all our singers. It's been a good morning. It's a wonderful day of worship and fellowship today. Now, if you were looking at your bulletin a little bit earlier, you might have noticed that there was a name listed that is not here with us today. Mark Rumley, our organist, had to have an emergency appendectomy on Friday. And so he was supposed to be playing today, but surgery went well. He is doing well. He is recovering. So, Mark, if you're watching today, just know that we are praying for you. Our church family is praying for you. We look forward to having you back real soon. As we prepare to encounter God's word this day, let us first go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Let us pray. God of the bright and morning star, God of the rising sun, God of darkness vanished, we praise and worship you this Resurrection Sunday morning. For empty tombs, we say thank you. For disciples running with good news, we say thank you. For your presence, alive, powerful, resurrected love, we say thank you. We celebrate your victory over death today, over all the powers that would defeat us. Help us this morning to grasp resurrection, to understand its power, to see its force at work in our world, overturning evil empires, changing the hatred within us, moving the world slowly, forcefully, bending us towards love and truth. On this day of great celebration and gladness, empower us to be your ambassadors, proclaiming good news in our kitchens, in our living rooms, good news in the offices and the workshops, good news in the fields and the factories. Help us to be that good news, walking softly on this good earth, caring gently for all people, living hopefully into your kingdom. Today, as we gather here today, we know there's many who could not be with us. We think of those who are grieving this day. We think of those who are sick, even dying. For places in the world that are torn by war and bloodshed, we lift them to you this day. In this world of broken hopes and dreams, we catch sight of your kingdom come in the person of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. And for that, we give thanks. Your Lord, our Lord, who reigns forever and ever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Again, we want to thank you for joining us for worship this day. We want to thank you, those that are here, those that are watching. Thank you for joining us on this Sunday. This Sunday that brings so much excitement and so much joy. As I said before, this is the holiest day in the Christian calendar. Some may argue, oh, no, that's got to be Christmas. No, this is the day that changed the world. This is the day that we get to know what true life looks like. It's Resurrection Sunday. It is a day that shattered the chains of death and that will continue to shatter those chains when we put our faith in Him. Today we celebrate the risen Lord, the one who conquered death, the one who conquered the grave, the one who offers us this new life through Him. As Christians, we should be excited. We should be excited not just on this Sunday, but on every morning when we wake up and realize that we get to celebrate and worship the risen Lord, that we get the opportunity to serve Him. That's not just a Resurrection Sunday, an Easter Sunday thing. That's an everyday thing. That's the excitement of this day. But if we think about it, let's be honest. Let's face it. That Jesus' closest followers, that first resurrection morning, the disciples, Women like Mary Magdalene, those others who followed him during his 3 years of ministry on earth, were not feeling excited after the death on the cross on Good Friday. Instead of excited, they were feeling another E word that we use in our vocabulary quite often. They were feeling empty. Empty. When we think about that word, empty, we are rushed, usually with feelings of sadness, feelings of despair, feeling of fear, feeling of disappointment. Maybe we felt emptiness before. Maybe you're feeling emptiness this day. Think back in your lives when you felt that same feeling of emptiness. Maybe it was when you were riding down the road, no town in sight, and not a gas station to be seen, and all of a sudden you start seeing your gas gauge start pointing towards the E. That E stands for empty, if you didn't know that. Don't get close to it. Or maybe it was on when your youngest child packs up their bags for the last time to move out of the house to go off to college. We call it the empty nest. Maybe it's opening a paycheck envelope at the end of the Christmas season, expecting your boss to have slid in a little bit of a Christmas bonus for all your hard work that month and that year. And you find that it's empty. Maybe it's sitting in a doctor's office, waiting good news from the doctor, but instead he brings in a diagnosis that was unexpected, life-changing. Maybe it's losing a loved one far too soon. That's feeling of emptiness. Maybe you're a child waiting for Christmas to finally come and you see a gift wrapped underneath the Christmas tree that looks the exact perfect size of that one thing you really wanted. And then Christmas morning, you tear that box open, and what do you find? Socks. That's emptiness. But on Resurrection Sunday morning, on this Sunday morning, empty starts looking a little bit different. It doesn't look like bad things anymore. Instead, emptiness is turned into good. This is a Sunday of joy where Jesus Christ turned emptiness, he transformed emptiness into fullness. But it did not start that way. It did not start that way that first Resurrection Sunday morning. So let's look through the eyes of one of those individuals that was there that fateful morning. Through the eyes of Mary Magdalene. You see, Mary Magdalene was one in society that many would call the least of these. She had some kind of a sordid past. She was an outcast in society. She was the type of person that you see her, but you really don't see her. Literally a ghost in society. Yet Jesus saw her. Jesus saw her. Jesus took her in and accepted her, and this changed her life forever. She had followed Jesus for a while. The scripture doesn't tell us how long in the 3-year ministry of Jesus that Mary Magdalene followed along, but what we do know is this, that she followed him, that she learned from him, and that she served him. And this filled her with purpose and joy. But on Resurrection Sunday morning, she felt empty again. Empty because she had watched just days before as Jesus entered Jerusalem, crowds of people saying, "Hosanna in the highest." And then just a few short days later, those same people in the crowds were yelling, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Every time those words were explained, she felt more empty. She had watched as Jesus was tortured. She had watched as he was arrested. She was at the foot of the cross when he experienced that horrible death. The one that saw her, the one that looked at her and understood who she was, the only one, was now gone. She watched as they took his lifeless body off the cross. She followed them to the tomb. Hope was gone. Jesus was dead. She felt empty. So what did Mary Magdalene do? What did she do with that feeling of emotion? She did just as her teacher had taught her to do. She served. Even in her emptiness, she waited until the Sabbath was over and she went to pay tribute to the one who saw her. The one who saw her for who she was. She was going to prepare his body. She was going to prepare his body properly, anoint him, anoint his body with spices as they would royalty, as they would a king. Have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of John. We're going to first start by reading verses 1 through 13 this morning to read a little bit of that Resurrection Sunday morning. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." See, Mary Magdalene was already feeling empty inside. Used up, emotionally drained, now things were worse. She had come to pay Jesus honor, the one who loved her unconditionally. Others had loved her, some had used her, others had wanted to change her, yet Jesus was different. Now on this morning, the sun rising and the mist fading away, the emptiness she felt got emptier. Empty. His body was not there. Imagine her utter despair and her grief, the hollow feeling in her stomach brought about by that emptiness of the tomb. Now her emptiness was at a completely new level. However, on this morning, so many years ago, emptiness would bring fullness. Picking back up the story. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Father, go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. See, even though the tomb was empty, Jesus, in the fullness of his love, was there, standing right there before Mary, calling her by name, comforting her. The emptiness left, and she was immediately filled with love. This morning, on Resurrection Sunday morning, Christ can turn our emptiness, any amount of emptiness that we have, into fullness. We just have to let him. He did it with an empty cross and an empty tomb. He can do this for you just as he did it for Mary Magdalene that first Resurrection Sunday morning. Only through the emptiness can we ever find fulfillment in our lives. You see, the empty tomb first brings the fullness of truth. Pilate had asked Jesus during the trial, "What is truth?" Jesus refused to answer that question, but we today know the answer to that question. Jesus Christ is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He alone is the name we call on for salvation. He alone is true and unconditional love. Mary Magdalene had experienced it. She knew it. We can too. His truth sets us free. Jesus' death and resurrection had been written about for hundreds of years before it actually happened. Jesus himself had proclaimed the truth of his death and resurrection. Now, the empty tomb was the proof of the fullness of truth. But the empty tomb just didn't provide truth. The empty tomb also brings us the fullness of hope. You see, when Mary Magdalene walked to the tomb that morning, in her mind, hope was dead. There was no hope. Jesus was dead, her teacher, the one that understood her. Nothing but emptiness remained. Yet, the emptiness of the tomb brought back hope. Jesus overcame the death and the grave. And because he is not in the grave, he lives. And we can live because he was resurrected and because we have the truth. The empty tomb assures us that we too will rise again. Though our bodies will fail, they may be failing now, but though our bodies will fail eventually, and eventually that we will be placed in the grave, when we believe the truth and we place our hope in him, our souls will live forever with the resurrected King. You see, in the empty tomb, we have the fullness of hope. In the emptiness of the tomb, in the empty tomb, it also brings us fullness of forgiveness. Jesus was born. He lived as a man. He died. He was resurrected. Everything Jesus did and endured, the pain, the torment, the rejection, the abuse, he did it for you. He did it for me. He took all of that. He took all this to purchase our forgiveness. Sin has a price, and the price must be paid. But Jesus Christ paid the price for everyone. You, me, and all of humanity. Our debt is paid when we are in him. Our pasts are just that. They're the past. Forgiveness for our wickedness, our stupidity, our mistakes, for the bad things we do on purpose or not on purpose. Forgiveness was free for the asking, and that's what we're called to do. Just remember the criminal that hung beside Jesus on the cross. Forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus. And what was Jesus' reply? Today. Today you will live with me in paradise. Forgiveness. In the empty tomb, we have the fullness of forgiveness. The last thing that the empty tomb provides us, the empty tomb brings us a fullness of love. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of God's love. For God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. You know that verse that we were all taught to learn as a young child? For God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. That's love. A love that knows us, our mistakes, our past, our emptiness, and loves us anyway. Jesus knew and loved Mary Magdalene. Jesus knows and loves you. This love understands us when we don't even understand ourselves. This love is something that grows up, and he knew us before we were born, and he loves us despite everything else that happens afterwards. This is a love that satisfies our soul. God sent Jesus because he loves us. Jesus came because he loves us. His love accepted the nails, the lashes, the pain, and punishment that should have been ours. Because Jesus loves us, he took everything that we deserved. On Friday, they took love off the cross, and they placed him in the tomb. On Saturday, Mary and the other believers had lost all hope. But on Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, love got up and walked out of the grave. In the empty tomb, we have the fullness of love. Because he is not there, we have truth. Because he is no longer there, we have hope. Because he continues to not be there, we are forgiven. Because he is not in the tomb, we are loved. We no longer have to fear death because the tomb is empty. We no longer have to worry about the world's circumstances because the tomb is empty. It had no hold on him. And as believers, it will have no hold on us as long as we put our faith and trust and love in him. No power, no sting. Because the tomb is empty, we can be filled. Truth, hope, forgiveness, and love. So this morning, I ask you one question. Do you still feel empty today? Do you still feel empty? Jesus can fill you with that same truth, hope, forgiveness, and love that touched and blessed Mary Magdalene, and he can do it today as well. So my challenge to you today is don't put it off. Don't put it off. Don't say, well, I'll wait till next Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, maybe it'll be a little bit more normal. I'll wait till next year. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. If you are feeling empty, embrace the empty tomb and be filled with new life today. Thank God for the emptiness of the tomb. Because by that empty tomb, we can find fullness in him. Christ the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Let us pray. Father, as we gather here this Resurrection Sunday morning, 2,000 years ago, you changed the world. You changed the world and anything else that's been since then, and you are changing us today. Father, I pray that we can understand even in emptiness, we can find the fullness of love in you. And that's what this day is all about. Thank you for filling us up because through your empty tomb. Thank you for continuing to make a difference in our lives because of the empty tomb. Thank you for the challenge and the purpose that you place on our lives because of the empty tomb. Because he is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. As we come to the time of closing for our closing hymn this morning, maybe for the very first time today, you realize that what that emptiness means. And you realize for the very first time that the only person that can fill that emptiness in your life is Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. If today's that day, again, don't put it off. Come down front. I'll be standing down front here this morning. If you're watching on Facebook Live and that's what you feel for the very first time today, contact me this week. Let's talk. Let's get together and let you understand the deepness and the fullness of life in Christ. Or maybe you're looking for a church home. Maybe you're looking for a place that seeks to honor and celebrate and serve the risen Lord. This is the church body for you. This is God's family. This is the church family. Be a part of it. Come join us. I'll be down front again. If you're watching, you can get in touch with me this week. We'll talk all about it. Or maybe today there's just something in your life that feels empty. Some little area stored inside. And today you recognize that the only way that that can be filled is through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. If that's where you are today, wherever you're standing, wherever you're sitting, you can come down front. The altar's always open. I'll be down front. I can pray with you. But don't let that emptiness still reside here as we walk away from this place today. Because, yes, the tomb was empty, but Jesus Christ is risen. And that's why we celebrate today. Let us sing this morning. Let's stay. Take that message as you leave this morning.